Father, we lift you up and we praise you. We declare our lives to be yours. Father, we lift you up above all everything in our lives, God. We exalt you. We make that decision today. We choose to worship you. We choose to lift you up. We choose to say that your name is great because you're a good God. We worship you this morning, Father. Glorify you. We lift you up. Would you just tell God that you love him this morning? Just tell him. Just tell him that you love him. Tell him that you appreciate him. Thank him for what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life. Thank you, God. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, Father. We praise you this morning, Lord. We worship you, God. And all those in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. You be seated if you would, please. Hallelujah.
Here's what's happening at FVC. Next Saturday is Man Up. It'll be at 7 a.m. with breakfast, worship, and the Word. This is going to be a time of building relationships and building up strong men to lead the church. Make this a priority for your family. This month only, there'll be childcare because of the women's retreat. Any questions, contact Deacon Brian Faith. Hashtag Man Up. Interested in becoming a member of Faith and Victory Church or just have questions about how the church runs? Join Pam and Roger Hammerquist this Sunday at 1 p.m. in the AMC. Lunch and childcare will be provided. You don't have to become a member after taking this class, so just come check it out. FBC Mexico Mission Trip 2019 is already being planned. If God is calling you to go, or you want information about going on or supporting next year's team, please join Deacon Mark Foster after third service downstairs in the Children's Ministry Room. This is an informational meeting only. No deposit required at this time. Join us October 31st for Wednesday service. There'll be no costumes, candy, or games, but there will be worship, the Word, and fellowship. Pretty much your standard FVC Wednesday. And now, let's take a look at the hashtag FVC Life Pictures of the Week. If you'd like to see your pictures on the screen, just snap a picture of yourself in your FVC gear and post it to Facebook with the hashtag FVC Life. Thanks for watching. Make sure to check in on Facebook and tweet the sermon using hashtag FVC Live. Please silence your cell phones. Sermon notes and recordings are available at faithandvictory.com/sermons. Now,
excited to be here this morning?
Yes.
Nice. So Galia doesn't like polo shirts. Not to dinner last night, and she brought it up. She don't like polo shirts, so I didn't wear a polo shirt today. So if you wear polo shirts, just know that Galia has disdain in her heart towards you and your polo shirts. Right there. All right, let's open up with prayer. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you'd use this word to change us, challenge us, and to convict us. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came. We'd grow in our relationship with you. Our lives would be better because of who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 8 this morning. For those of you that are just joining us, this is what we do, is we go through line by line, precept by precept, and we go through line by line, precept by precept, and as we've been going through the Old Testament, we go through chapter by chapter, apparently. So, 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, it came to pass when Samuel was old and he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of second, Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and have served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who shall reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king, and he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants and your female servants and your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. So the story this morning, the curve of it, the big rocks, it's pretty simple, is that Israel is asking for a king. And Samuel says to them, like, no, you're not going to get a king. And so they keep asking, say, give us a king, give us a king. Samuel goes to God, and God says, say this to the people of Israel. They're asking for a king, and if they get this king that they're asking for, it is not going to go well for them. It's not going to go well. This king is not going to be good to them. And so the people of Israel still go, give us a king. And God goes, all right, you wouldn't listen. I'm going to give you this king. You ain't going to like it. And then what happens? You're going to cry out to me when it happens, and I'm not going to listen to you. There's a lot of parallels in today's life that we're living, and we'll get to that in a minute. But we all make demands. Like we make demands on businesses and on people, and eventually that turns into demands on God. We are the most demanding, consumer-driven people, I believe, that have ever existed in all of humanity. And that demanding nature that lives inside of us is stuff that we think that we want or that we need, activities that we think will make us happy. We want. America has this mindset, and we think that if we had something else besides what we have, everything and everyone there would satisfy us and we would feel better. And so we put everybody in this position. Sometimes this creeps into the church, where people feel as though the church is a consumer-driven area as well, where, you know, the church is here to serve you. That'll happen sometimes as well. And they take that mentality to God. And they say, well, you know, God's supposed to do what I tell him. That's what his job is to satisfy my needs. And I will tell you that sometimes God gives you what you don't ask for, and sometimes he gives you what you ask for, even if it's not that good for you. So let's get into this thing. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is that people making demands. It says in verse 5, and he said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. This demand of Israel is that they wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations that were around them. They looked at them and they said, this is who we want. We want someone to rule over us, to tell us what to do and how to live. See, what happened is that they had saw other nations like Edom and Moab and Ammon and kings, and they said, look, we want to be like those guys. We want to have someone to rule over us, tell us what to do, to fight our battles for us. And if we had that, we would be better off. So God, give us what we want. See, the issue was their heart. They blame Samuel because his sons weren't righteous. They've just come out of some huge military battles. If you've been with us reading through 1 Samuel, Israel had lost some great battles. And so they're kind of around, I think, licking their wounds. And they come to this place and they say, you know what? The problem cannot be us. There's no way the problem's us. It's got to be who's ruling us. If we had the correct king, if we had the right ruler over us, that would solve our problems. How can we be the problem of our destruction? It must be who rules us. I wish that these ancient scriptures from thousands of years ago had applicability for us today. I wish we could understand what it would be like to be in a nation where people had a mindset that said, the problems that we have as a nation are because we don't have the correct king. Man, that would be interesting if that applied for today. See, what people do is they have this mindset of, you know what, the problem of my life is the problem who's ruling me. People say, oh man, my grass ain't growing. Thanks, Obama. Gas prices go up. Thanks, Trump. Right? My family can't get along. Thanks, Bush. And I've been watching this whole political thing for about 25 years, back when I voted for Bob Dole, Bob Dole, right? Remember Bob Dole, Bob Dole? And I tell you, I have not been around as long as some of y'all, but I will tell you, in the short amount of time that I've been paying attention, it is the same. Yeah. You could put literally any human being on the earth, put a hat on them, and put them in the Oval Office, and half the people would hate that person. You could put Billy Graham or even your grandmother in there, and everybody is going to hate them. Just by virtue of the fact that they're in there. Because in the human sphere, we love to have this idea that there's got to be someone or something other than ourselves that is the reason where I'm not where I think I need to be. And then that mentality happens in the civic realm. It even happens within the church, where something will go wrong in the people's lives, and then they say, you know what the problem is? It's the pastor. If he would have preached this message, this would have happened. If he would have been a better leader, if he would have been ahead of it and been able to control 500 people's lives outside of the four walls on a Sunday, then my life wouldn't be where it's at. There's got to be something else outside of me of why I can't be where I think I need to be. God, give me a king. People make demands. They make God into this eternal genie, and they get mad if they don't get what they want. God, give me a spouse. Give me a job. Give me kids. Give me money. Heal me. Do this in my life, God. I know what's good for me, and I'm going to need you to do this. Typically, these demands are self-centered and are centered around your comfort, your significance, what you think that you need, the demands that you think that you deserve inside of your life. And here's what happens is that God tells the truth. When you go to God, if you're a Christian and you're listening, man, you know when the Holy Spirit's telling you exactly what's going to happen when you get this thing that you're asking for. Verse 9, now therefore heed their voice, however you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. You want a king? This is what's going to happen. He's going to exploit your sons. He's going to serve himself. He's going to exploit your daughters. He's going to take the best parts of your fields, your increase. He's going to take everything to serve him. Wouldn't it be interesting if we had a leader that was raised up and everything they did was to serve themselves? And you'll cry out to me, and I won't listen. God's truth is eternal, man. God's truth is so eternal. And he says the truth to the nation of Israel. God says, you know what? You've rejected every leader I've ever put over you. You rejected Samuel. You reject me. Why do you think that somehow you're going to magically submit to this earthly king when I've been asking you to submit to me and you won't even do that? God tells the truth, man. He tells them exactly what they need to hear. The problem wasn't who ruled them. The problem was the heart of the people. They were disobedient, self-serving, complaining people who didn't want to submit to anyone. Does it sound familiar? People don't want to submit to parents. Parents should have said amen on that one. But people don't want to submit to their boss. People don't want to submit to the president. They don't want to submit to their pastor, police, the rule of law. We have this mindset inside of us of just like, I'm not going to have anyone or anybody tell me what to do. My life.
Come on.
You know, I received my health care through the VA because I'm an Army veteran. And so I had a medical appointment here a couple weeks ago and I was up in the VA. And the VA hospital is a labyrinth, man. There's hallways and everything. You can't even find your way around this thing. So I'm down in the basement. I got an appointment and the information counter, nobody's there. And I'm lost, okay? I'm 6'5". It's easy to see that I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So this short guy walks up and goes, hey, you lost? I'm like, yeah, man, lost. Where are you trying to go? I was here. Get on the elevator. Okay. And so I get on the elevator and I'm standing there and I'm just like, hey, what floor are we getting? Man, I told you I'd take you where we're going. Now just stand there. Okay. So I don't know if this guy's like some old sergeant major or something like that, but like there's this thing inside me like, all right, man, listen up. Hold on. First thing, Pastor Matt Fortunas, Faith and Victory, have we met? Oh, oh, oh. That's what, you know what I mean? Nobody tell me what to do. That's what kind of came up inside of me, right? I mean, that was my initial response. Who does this guy think he is? He identified the fact that I was lost. He approached me. He was taking me where I knew I needed to go. And I had a problem in which the way in which he was doing it. In that instance, the character flaw was not in that guy. His heart was in the right place. His delivery may not have been that well. But he didn't have to help me. I might still be standing down in the basement. He's lost. Walks me up there and then he goes, now when you leave, this is the way you're going to leave. You're going to go down out to the parking lot. There's three parking lots. I have no idea how he knew where I was parked, but that was exactly the way that I knew it. There's a sermon in there somewhere. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Let God be your king.
Yes.
He always wanted to be Israel's king. God never intended for Israel to have an earthly king forever. He wanted to be their king. He wanted to rule them. The kingship of Jesus and his kingdom cannot be overstated in that all that God has ever wanted is to be your king. To rule over you. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes no bribe. He just wants to rule you. Earthly kings and leaders will always let you down because God never intended for them to care for you the way that he can care for you. And when you put your heart in a position where you feel as though a leader or a pastor or anybody, a boss, is going to lead you and satisfy you, and then eventually they let you down, you get upset with God when God said, I never intended for you to let your heart be ruled by them. I intended for your heart to be ruled by me. Because when people ask for someone to rule them, and then these broken rulers take advantage of them, they get upset with God. And God originally told you, you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
And again, it plays out in American politics that people want a president until they see the flaws of the president, and then they want a new one. I'm going to prophesy. Whoever gets elected next, people are not going to like. I know. It's deep, isn't it? Father, that, God bless that we live in the republic that we live in, but that, like, it's a broken system that seems to be the best system. But that person that sits in the Oval Office is not the end-all be-all. It's just not. And people get so upset with the news and like, oh my gosh, Kanye was wearing a hat. And it's like, if the worst thing in your life is that Kanye is wearing a hat, like, get a new life. You know what I'm saying? Like there's hungry people that need to be fed. There's lonely people that need to be loved. There's You know, there's stuff that needs to be done. And all of that at 1600 Pennsylvania has no bearing on you living your life. People just don't listen, though. In verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. And we may be like all the other nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. This is people, man. This is you. Okay, don't, like, as we're preaching this, this is 100% about you. Don't think like, I know someone who's disobedient. I do. I know someone who won't listen. That person is you. People can hear the audible voice of God telling them not to do something they shouldn't do, and then they completely disregard it. You can tell someone to, you are blue in the face, the dangers of something, and they don't care. They will do what they want. And in church, I've had this experience where I've counseled people and I'll say like, do not do this. Yeah. Don't do this sin. Don't be with that person. Don't take that job. Don't move. Destruction beholds you for doing this. And they're like, okay, I'm doing it anyway. I just wanted to waste your time. It just baffles me when, like, we've entered into this era of America where there's no longer an expert in anything. Yeah. Like, you could have a PhD in microphysics, and some guy thinks because he can Google something on his phone in 30 seconds, like, nah, that ain't true. Google says. Yeah. This PhD guy has gone to 17 years of school, and he's telling you something, like, I just don't believe it. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'll tell you a story and you'll see if you can make the connection with your own life. I've had the opportunity, actually I have the opportunity quite often, and I don't talk about this just because it's none of y'all's business, but I've been mentoring somebody who operates at a higher level than most. And he is not a Christian, he doesn't attend this church, and he has seen something in my life that he wants to learn from. And if I told you who he was and what he did, you might be impressed. And it's interesting because when we met for the first time for me to mentor and coach him, he showed up with a pad of paper and a pen. And then I just talked and he goes, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then what? Uh-huh, uh-huh, okay. And then left. And we meet together the next couple of weeks. He goes, okay, everything you said worked. Now what? This is what you're going to do. Okay, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. And I literally been meeting this guy for months, and this is all we do. Every week we get together, I tell him exactly what to do. He writes it down. He goes out and does it. And then he comes back, and he just lives it out. He literally, this morning, he texted me. Hold on, I'm going to read it to you so you guys don't think I'm lying. I like using my phone. I miss this thing even when I'm preaching. I figure you got a busy day. But I just want to let you know all the things that you and I have been talking about have made such a profound impact on my life, in my craft. I just want to thank you, Matt. It's been a big help. And I want to continue growing. And I listen, don't clap. It ain't about me. It's about your disobedient heart that won't listen to what I'm telling you to do. Well, this guy can figure it out. See, what's funny is all I do is tell him the Bible stuff that he's never heard. So you're going to forgive people. What? How do I do this? You're going to love people. You're going to serve people. You're going to make your life not about you. Yeah, and he's like, this is groundbreaking. I'm like, I didn't even write the book. All I'm doing is regurgitating it, right? I mean, and Christian people, for whatever reason, they want to be so foot-dragging disobedient. Yeah. Forgive people. Why I got to forgive people? Yeah. Love people. Why I got to love people? Yeah. Because the Bible says. Yeah. Why do I have to serve? Because the Bible says. Why do I have to tithe? Because the Bible says. Why do I have to hang out with other Christians? Because the Bible says. Why do I have to go to church? Because the Bible says. Why do I have to read the Bible? Because the Bible says. Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now here's what happens inside of this, right? Is that these people make these demands. And they say, this is what we want, and this is what we want to do. And then God tells them the truth, and they don't listen. And this is when it really starts to go sideways. And this is the meat of this. In verse 21, it says, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. Verse 22, so the Lord God said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. There's this point where God just gives people what they want. Yeah. There's a point where he just gives up and says, you know what, man, I am tired of dealing with you. I'm just going to give you what you want. Now, me personally, Matt Krichunas, I don't agree with God on this one, okay? I don't have to agree with, I just have to do what it says. And if I was God, I'd flood the earth every few years until people knew what was really going on. You know what I mean? I'd be like, all right, y'all don't want to listen, send the rain. That's my heart, you know what I mean? But from the bottom, from the top, we'll just start out again with seven people and see what we can do. That's why I'm not God and why you shouldn't. You know what I mean? Sometimes God just gives people what they want. He tells them they don't want that. He tells them it will destroy them, but they beg for it. Or they just walk in disobedience and then God just gives it over to them. You begged, you pleaded, you demanded, and finally, God just goes, just take it. Just go. It's what you want to do. Every parent knows what this is like. You want to do it? Just go. Just give this bit. Go. Fine. You don't want to do your homework? You're going to end up with us as a nothing because you refuse to do your homework. Don't do it. Go watch TV and eat bowls of sugar. I don't even care. I'm done. Any parents like this? This is the judgment of God. Like when God finally comes to that point where he says, okay, you've asked for it, you won't listen, I'm just going to give it to you. And you think like, yeah, I got what, God, you're under the judgment of God. Like that's a scary, scary place to be. People don't understand this part of Scripture. Psalm 81, 11 and 12, it says, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. This is the judgment. When God gets to a point where he walks away from you and goes, you'll be fine on your own. That is not a good place. That's not a good place at all. I want to show you a thick part of Scripture in Romans chapter 1. And it really talks about when God gives you over. And I don't know if they fixed the slides, but I added more scriptures. Starting verse 22, Romans chapter 1. Let's see if they fixed it. If not, I think it starts on 26. Professing to be wise. Oh, they got it. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God gave them over to a debased mind. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's the judgment of God. It's interesting, even, and for young people that are here, disobedience to parents is equated with murder and death. All the parents said?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, but you're in there too, proud, boasting, undiscerning, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful people. We want to rail on all these other people's big sins when you're not looking in the mirror of the strife and deceit. The whisperers. God gave Israel over to their stubborn hearts many times. Acts 14:16, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Now in this story, what we're talking about this morning is about kingship and rulership in Israel. But folks, this is about your life. Don't miss that this morning. This is about your life. You're not asking for a king. You're probably asking for some other selfish pleasure. Some plan that you want to do things on your own timeline to get what you want, the way that you want it, when you want it. And you're setting God up in this sense where you're making this demand and you're saying, you know what, God, until this, then I won't be satisfied. Until you give me this, I will not be satisfied. And that story of Israel, this is why it's so important to continue to read through the Old Testament, because this cycle of the disobedience of Israel is the cycle of the disobedience in our own lives. Here's what happens when God gives you what you want and he already said no. Number one, you will walk in sin. Okay? So don't think that because God stepped back and give you something and you get to go and do it, you're like, well, God must have, I must have God's approval on this because nothing's happening to me. The fact that you're doing it is the showing of God's disapproval. The fact that he allowed you to do it. Isaiah 30 verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. The fact that you make plans and you go on paths and you go and do things, don't think for one second that God's standing by approving it just because you can do it. It's the nature of our free will that we're able to walk outside of the obedience of God and choose to do things. And maybe people set this up and say, well, if God wanted to stop me, he would do it. No. Sometimes God allows you to do it to prove to you, and you're going to walk down this path of destruction and suffer. And then you're going to be condemned. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You can go down to a path of destruction and God will stand idly by and allow you to do this because that's what you wanted in the first place. And maybe that's what it's going to take to get you to be broken. We can finally come back and say, you know what? I tried my plan. It didn't work. And so I'm no longer going to go on my plan. I'm going to go on God's plan. I'm going to live in this world that says, you know what? I'm just not going to question anymore. I'm just going to do what I'm being told to do. Because what happens is that the scripture says, you will cry out and God will not care. God will not care. Verse 18, and you will cry out in that day because your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. And people say, well, you know, that's Old Testament God, not New Testament Jesus. Is it? That's interesting. Because Jesus said that people would not listen to, that God would not hear them as well. Micah 3:4, they will cry out to the Lord. He will not hear them. He will hide his face from them at that time. Isaiah 1:15 as well. 1 Peter 3:12 says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the faces of the Lord is against those who do evil. If you want God to listen to you, live for him, serve him, submit to him. You know, a rebellious child never turns the ear of his parent. If you have a child that's living in rebellion and disobedience, they will never be able to convince their parent of anything until the rebellion is fixed in their heart. Because a rebellious child making a demand on a parent is not coming from a good heart condition. They're just trying to stoke the fires of rebellion within their heart. And so when they go to that parent in their rebellion, the parent that's smart will look at the rebellious child and say, fix the rebellion. Once the rebellion is fixed, then we can talk about anything else. But we're going to start there. Rebellion needs to be fixed. Israel wanted a king because they thought that it would fix their problems. They were looking everywhere except the Lord our God, everywhere except the problems within themselves. So what should we do? Number one, fully submit to God. Just fully submit to God. I say this every single week, largely because we are a growing church, but also to remind you, this is the key to victory. Just the key to victory is fully submit to God in everything. Like, just say, like, if God wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not even going to understand it. I'm just going to apply this to my life because apparently He knows what He's doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to fully submit to God in my life. This is the first step in talking to God. It's not asking Him to do anything less than save you from your sins. And so if you have not asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, if you have not been in a right relationship with God, and you're sitting here, you're saying, I keep asking God for things and He won't give them to me, so that's why I won't serve God. God doesn't care about the things in your life. He cares about the sin in your life. Yes. Satisfy your sin problem before you get to anything else. Jesus said in Mark 8:35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yeah. This is a theme that you will hear over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Nothing in your life goes well when you do it halfway. Yeah. Nothing. There's nothing that you do in your life that's halfway. You can't kind of get out of debt. You can't kind of fix your marriage. You can't kind of get a job. There's no kindas that work. Yeah. It's either all or nothing. Right? In or out. Either going swimming or not. Like, don't put your feet in the pool and say, I'm swimming. No, you're not. Okay? Feet in the pool. Either get in or get out. And the reason why I preach this as a theme within my ministry is that I have seen the destruction that befalls people that do things halfway. It just doesn't end well. And it's funny, going back to even the parts, like, here I am. I'm like, listen, man, this is what I do. Like, my life is consumed with looking at people's spiritual condition and how to improve it. And then people say, what should I do, Pastor? Do this. Fully submit to God. And like, I don't think that's the issue. Okay. Secondly, quit making so many demands. Quit making so many demands. Like, how much does it take for you to be happy, honestly? Like, really, man? Like, you've been asking God, like, God, give me this. And He gives you that. And you're like, oh, I'm still not happy. Give me this. You're still not happy. And it's like, oh, give me this. How many demands can you put on God until you just say, you know what? The fact that I'm not doing laps in the lake of fire is good. Yeah. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, I went out to eat and, you know, it's not what I ordered, but at least I'm not doing laps in the lake of fire. Like, it's fine. I mean, people just like set a bar really low that you can just like, I don't need more than this. Like, if you're living somewhere safe, you've got something to eat and you've got the fellowship of the brethren. Like, what else do you need, man? What else do you need? When I married Crystal, I told her before we ever got married, I said, listen, man, the most I can promise you is sleeping bags on the floor and top ramen. That's it. If you want more than that, find somebody else. Cause I just want to set the bar really low. You know, all you young unmarrieds, listen to me, man. It's a lot better. You don't want to stand up and be like, I'm going to give you mountains and mansions. Yep. Sleeping bags on the floor, top ramen. The less you require, the happier you will be. Thirdly, ask with the right motives. And this is one of the really hard parts about being a Christian is that people will deal with the external without dealing with the internal. And so they'll appear to be righteous. And on the inside, they're just like whitewashed tombs. And you've got to have that heart condition that when you're asking for something, you say, God, I really want this, or I really need you to do this. And God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, well, why do you want that? Like, what are you going to do with that when I give you that? And you're like, man, I'm going to serve and I'm going to give and I'm going to love. And inside you're like, I'm going to take and I'm going to keep. I'm going to hoard. Get your motives right, man. Don't pray. I'm done praying for people that want a job that aren't going to tithe.
Yeah. Come on.
Why? So you can spend it on your own pleasures? James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures.
Yeah.
I want a car so you can not give people rides to church.
Yeah.
I want a house so you can not have people over to your house that are broken and need your love. I want to eat well so that when I go out to eat with other people, I ain't going to pay for it. Like, when you ask those things of God, like, where's your heart condition? See, the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And you've got to be in this place where you've got to trust that God knows best. This might come as a surprise, but God knows what He's doing. I'm not exactly always sure what I'm doing, but I'm 100% sure that He knows what He's doing. Ecclesiastes 8:6 says, because for every matter there is a time and a judgment, though misery of man increases greatly. Oftentimes in the waiting, there's this misery inside of us where we're waiting, where we're waiting for God to do something, and it's so painful waiting. But God knows what He's doing. And so trust the outcome. God always answers prayers. Sometimes it's just no. Dang it. Why's it got to be no? Because God knows what He's doing, man. I used to say to my kids all the time, you'll understand when you're older. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Excuse me, if we do not lose heart. Last thing, and then we'll get out of here. It says, do what God told you to do in the first place.
Amen.
If God tells you to do something, just do it. And if He tells you not to do it, don't do it. It's really easy. Can I share with you guys one last story before we get out of here? I tell you these stories and people in their mind like, oh man, thinks he's so awesome with a side of fries. Okay. I'm a heaping warm pile of dung. Okay. Like there's nothing good in me inside of me that isn't from Jesus. But it's funny because Pastor Christian from Cedar Rapids, who got saved in our church and is now a pastor, that guy does everything that I say, like to a T. Like he calls me up before he goes into a meeting. He goes, what should I say? I say, say this. And he's like, all right. Then he comes back and goes, dude, I'm so glad I called you. Christian and Jonathan have now become friends. And Jonathan, and Christian says to Jonathan, just do everything that Matt says. Like whatever he says for the pastorate, just do that. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. There's people in your life for where you're going, what you're doing, whether in your job, your work, your relationships. Find those people and say, just tell me what to do. And you'll be successful. Read the word, follow what it says, and you'll be successful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Hey, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. And maybe you've never given your heart to God before. Maybe you've never submitted to His will before. And it's really quite simple. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. Either you've given your heart to Him or you haven't. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never repented of your sins, and you want to submit to Him today, today is your day. Now, Faith and Victory, we ask you to raise your hand and to come forward. Why? Because if you can't walk up in a room full of Christians and say, I want to live for Jesus, the world is going to devour you. And it's an act of the will to decide to come up and say, you know what? I want to live for Jesus. But if you've never made that decision before, you want to make it for the first time, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus. Is there anybody that needs to do that for the first time? Anybody? Give their life to Jesus. All right. Now, I don't know what area of your life that you need to submit to God. I don't know what He spoke to you. It's an area of disobedience. Let Jesus be your King this morning. Let Him rule your life. Submit fully to Him in every area of your life. Father, we submit our hearts to You this morning. Father, we give You everything that we have. We ask You to fill us with Your presence, to change those things about us that aren't of You, God. We submit to You this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.